Hello everyone and welcome to Eat Life News, a show dedicated to bringing you all the latest headlines, scoops and narratives going on in the crazy world of Ethereum. I'm your host Dennis Omer, we're joined by my co-host DeFi Dude and Liz from Brighton. DeFi Dude, we might have seen the markets pretty volatile lately and going down and up and, well, let's say mostly down, but money still seems to be flowing in from all quarters, from institutional investors, from VCs. And this week we had something particular that kind of demonstrated just how much money was going into the space, right?
Yeah, this week we had A16Z actually launched their largest crypto fund ever with a new $2.2 billion crypto venture fund. So, you know, they've always been strong proponents of crypto, you know, having invested in Ethereum, Coinbase, Uniswap, Maker, Compound, pretty much every crypto blue chip that we know. But this is actually their third crypto fund, and this fund will have a mandate to invest in DeFi, Bitcoin apps, Web3, and others that they announced they'll be investing in. Projects in all stages of their development cycle, you know, from early seed stage to fully developed later stage networks.
And it was pretty cool to see that they've actually hired some pretty high profile names. And this includes like Anthony Albanese from the New York Stock Exchange itself and Bill Hinman, who was a former director of the Securities and Exchange Commission. And that's a pretty big deal. And he was actually known for having stated that ETH is not a security. He came to that. I think they had some kind of ruling where they'd gone back and looked at Bitcoin and ETH and decided they had not been securities. And this is that same Bill Hinman. And I think they've even hired a guy who used to be senior advisor to President Joe Biden, or is right now. And this guy will be acting as head of policy, will be acting as global head of policy. They're not even actually the only one to launch a crypto fund recently. Okay, yeah, $2.2 billion is the largest crypto venture fund ever. There was also Blockchain Capital who announced a $300 million fund that is actually being backed by PayPal and Visa. And Framework Ventures announced a new $100 million round fund as well. And I think so far, this is something I saw in the blog, so far over $8.8 billion has been invested by such investors and by general investors in crypto startups, which is pretty impressive. This week, we also had news from Binance, right?
Yeah, we did. Binance, which is, you know, currently the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange by many measures, they have been banned by the FCA, which is the UK financial regulator. So the FCA actually made an announcement that says Binance Markets Limited, which I believe is their legal entity, it's not permitted to undertake any regulated activity in the UK. June 30th, Binance must notify UK users of the FCA's restrictions in a prominent place on its website and apps.
And it was actually confusing because Binance tweeted later that they're aware of the FCA's notice, but that the notice is specifically for Binance Markets Limited, that entity you mentioned. And they're saying that this is a separate legal entity that does not offer any products or services via Binance.com, and therefore users of Binance.com are allowed to continue doing whatever they're doing on Binance. So they said that the FCA notice has no direct impact on the services provided on Binance. And they also added that our relationship with our users has not changed, which, I mean, the confusion is around what the UK is around what users in the UK are allowed to do. So they are, I think, allowed to use a website to purchase and sell cryptocurrencies, which is not regulated by the FCA, but they're actually not allowed to speculate or bet on whether the price of a cryptocurrency will go up or down. I think they also mentioned like derivatives might be, for example, part of these restrictions that are actually regulated. So we're not exactly sure what's going on there.
And in other news, we actually discussed last week that some, you know, high profile rug pulls with Mark Cuban and all that kind of stuff and other exploits were taking place, which isn't totally unusual in DeFi and crypto. But this week we got a few more, and especially this time concentrated around ETH 2.0 staking, which is a little unusual, you know, for the typical exploits or rug pulls and that kind of stuff. So right now, when it comes to staking, you either have to run your own validator and stake your own ETH in 32 ETH increments, or you can stake in a centralized platform such as Coinbase or one of the many others. This week, though, we got the news that Stakehound, which is another service similar to how Coinbase stakes your ETH for you in a fully centralized manner, they allow for ETH 2.0 staking, and they are suing Fireblocks because, first of all, Fireblocks is a custody service, and basically you know, if they're a custody service, they're the ones holding custody of Stakehound's ETH that is being staked. Well, turns out Fireblocks lost $75 million worth of ETH, lost the private keys, something of that. So Stakehound is claiming that Fireblocks gross negligence led them to lose access to the keys that contain access to 38,100 and some ETH, worth roughly $75 million at the time. And apparently Fireblocks was using a 3 of 4 threshold signature for the shards that form their ETH 2.0 withdrawal key. And so somehow they've managed to lose 2 of their keys. And so now it's impossible to sign any transactions to access that locked ETH. Fireblocks kind of shot back saying it was never in charge of those keys and that Stakehound generated its own keys and stored them outside the Fireblocks platform. But Fireblocks also agreed to temporarily store the BLS key shares while asking Stakehound to also back up their keys. So who's right, who's wrong? Not sure. Gonna have to see it kind of play out. But what is true is that $75 million worth of ETH is lost. So it's always, you know, a good reminder, do not stake with these centralized providers if you can, because there is always that risk, you know, of losing your funds and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of discussion in the Ethereum community around this centralized aspect of ETH 2.0 staking, because now like a majority of the staked ETH is being staked through centralized means, which means it's much more vulnerable because there's one entity, for example, Fireblocks, has access to $75 million worth of ETH, and that's just a conservative number. There's other platforms that hold hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of ETH, and there you go, you know, because you know the system wasn't decentralized enough, because not enough precaution was taken, you end up with such a mess. On a slightly better news for one of the articles we mentioned last time, where there was a smart contract bug in the Alchemix platform, well, they had actually appealed to their community. And just on a side note, what had happened there was the contract bug allowed for the withdrawal of ETH, even if you didn't own that ETH, even if you weren't eligible to withdraw that ETH. Now, no users lost funds, but that collateral kind of disappeared. So the Alchemix team posted an appeal saying, you know, we humbly ask that you return any free AL ETH or the equivalent amount in ETH, and doing so will help to restore AL ETH to solvency. And they said, you know, whoever gives it back will also get one ALCX token per ETH, or, you know, they're all ETH in return. And in return, AL ETH will be airdropped to all those participants. And you'll also get a special NFT. And it was encouraging to see that over 50% of the ETH has already been returned. So a big kudos to everyone who's returned that ETH to receive ALCX token. And it's good to see that, you know, there's still people who are making positive contribution to the crypto space.
Yeah, and I was actually seeing on Twitter too, some people were wanting to pay into Alchemix, even though they weren't affected by the bug. They just wanted either the NFT or whatever status or something that came along with paying some back. So that was definitely interesting. We also have something, you know, in regards to Binance Smart Chain. So there was an interesting tweet from Haseeb Qureshi that outlines all the DeFi hacks since early 2020 until today. So what you see is, you know, most of the hacks started on Ethereum, but over time, there's definitely a shift towards Binance Smart Chain hacks, so much so that 18 out of the last 20 hacks have all been on BSC. When we say hacks, you know, rug pulls, all that kind of stuff. The comments to the tweet were also interesting. Some people were raising the point that, you know, quite a few of these BSC hacks were actually insider jobs. So, for example, BurgerSwap, that lost $7.2 million, was suspicious because, well, the BurgerSwap team had left out a single line of code from their Uniswap fork that enabled this hack. So, you know, it's definitely, it wouldn't put it past some teams that are quickly propping up projects, you know, to be the ones themselves to take advantage of it. You know, I mean, not saying that any specific project is doing so, but it's not, you know, out of the question. So always got to be careful.
Yeah, I think it's a trend where every growing, burgeoning kind of smart chain platform goes through this phase where they have quite a huge amount of people trying to take advantage of bugs and rug pulls and just trying to make a quick buck, I guess, right? And now we're seeing it much more in Binance Smart Chain. Maybe things on Ethereum have matured a bit more. In other DeFi news, a few days ago, the MakerDAO team announced the Maker Growth Core Unit. Now, some of you may be familiar that the Maker Foundation recently started dissolving itself as part of this continuing effort towards greater decentralization, right? It's a trend we're seeing more and more. You know, teams are trying to decentralize different components of it. And, you know, because the original vision was around truly autonomous organizations. So that's how the Maker team are approaching it. They're just splitting off different units and making them more decentralized, where the DAO votes on whether some units should happen and how much funding it should get. So basically what this growth unit is a unit that will lead business development efforts for product integrations and for developing and implementing different protocol solutions. And basically, and I'm not sure exactly how the mechanics work, but people will be voting, I think, on their budget, how much they should get, what should be approved, what shouldn't be approved. So it's interesting to see that kind of decentralization continue. And we've seen it across a few different examples as well within DeFi. Apart from that, we also have some more funding news, right?
Yeah, so also DeFi related, we have Yield Protocol. They actually announced that they closed a $10 million Series A funding round led by Paradigm. And just to kind of a small recap for, you know, what Yield is, Yield's a fixed rate borrowing and lending platform. And they're also now working on a version 2 already to allow, you know, new collateral and borrowable assets. V2 is also more gas efficient. It's composable so that fixed rates can be, you know, a true DeFi building block, among other things. So part of this capital they raised was also from DeFi Alliance, CMS Holdings, Framework Ventures, and a few other VCs. And in addition to this, they've integrated their platform into MakerDAO. So it kind of allows for fixed rates on DAI lending. That means, you know, you could borrow at a fixed rate even if the Maker stability fee fluctuates. So that's really cool. It stabilizes and smooths out revenue for the Maker protocol in the long term as well. And, you know, the new system was recently voted through by a MakerDAO vote. Yeah, so that's how it got on there. And I think we do have one more DeFi thing on the list today.
And every week we bring up different projects that are deploying on different layer twos and different side chains. And we especially see a lot of mention from Polygon, right? This team deploying there, that team. And this week we have another team deploying on Polygon, and that's actually Kyber. So first of all, the deployment was actually voted through a proposal on the Kyber DAO, and it was accepted. And the Kyber DMM will be deployed on Polygon. And in parallel, to incentivize liquidity there, the community also decided, again through the DAO vote, to provide $30 million in rewards towards a liquidity mining program called Rainmaker. So this will be basically giving rewards for different liquidity pools on both the Kyber DMM on Polygon and also the Kyber DMM on Ethereum as well. So yeah, so we encourage people to check it out. Although DeFi Dude, how is yield farming going on now that we have a bear market?
Yeah, I mean, coupled with the bear market and just a lot of attention being, you know, given to yield farming, especially on Polygon, we have seen some of the rewards kind of go down a little. You're not seeing the, you know, the 10,000,000% APR. Not that you actually saw that, but so yeah, rates have been going down a little bit, but still a lot to do, still a lot to earn in the world of DeFi and yield farming, that's for sure.
We're still seeing, like, you know, good innovation from there. And I mean, I think this, the very low yields is probably just like a bear market, bull market reflexivity kind of thing. And they will recover once the market recovers as well. Now, moving on to NFTs, as always, there's so much going on, right? There seems to be drops happening. There seems to be new programs. So what do we have on the menu this week?
Yeah, as always, like you said, lots of stuff. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people, at least on crypto Twitter, it's like they're calling saying, oh, the NFT market has kind of died a little bit since all that, you know, huge hype wave we saw earlier this year. But really, there's still so much going on. So very recently, there was actually this project, you know, it's around generative NFTs. Those keep gathering hypes, you know, generative things like CryptoPunks, Bored Apes, Meebits, that kind of thing. So this week we've got what some are actually calling them the ugliest generative NFTs that have launched. They're called Polymorphs. So the sale was through universe.xyz. And, you know, Universe, it's a project that allows anyone to launch their own community-driven NFT universe with other various things like social tools, media services, that kind of thing. And these Polymorphs, they quickly sold out. Now, I'm not one to judge, you know, others based on their art tastes and that kind of thing. But yeah, some of these Polymorphs, definitely very ugly, definitely look like something that just kind of like crawled out of the swamp.
So is it monsters? What do they look like?
It's, I don't even know. They're like little monsters, but also like kind of little blobby things. Like, it's like, yeah, if maybe humans never had bones and they just kind of like grew up to be a big mush thing. I don't know. Little strange. So, but one thing that seems, you know, for sure is that these generative NFT projects, they keep, you know, continuing with lots of attention, lots of demand, whether or not they're visually appealing, I guess. Maybe it's for the scarcity, the traits that people are after. I'm not sure. But yeah, that was one that, you know, recently got a lot of attention for the day, at least, that I saw.
Yeah, and I was browsing Reddit the other day, and then I saw something about an NFT. Are they releasing an NFT or something?
Yep, they are, actually. They're selling, right now they're selling 3 one-of-one NFTs on Ethereum, of course. And, you know, Reddit isn't a stranger to experimenting with, like, cool blockchain stuff and Ethereum. They actually had their Moons token, which they launched for our cryptocurrency last year. And, you know, they've partnered with Ethereum Foundation as well. So, you know, these NFTs should come as no surprise to most of us. But the 3 they're launching, they're their little character Snoo. You know, their little mascot, I guess, is what you'd call it. And they go on to explain various things like the rarity on the NFT page. So for these 3 are legendary, but there's also epic and rare, meaning that Reddit is almost certainly going to be releasing more NFTs in the future since, you know, they release more rarities that don't even exist yet. But the cool thing is, you know, if you're a big Reddit user, if you own one of these NFTs, they allow you to use it as your Reddit avatar. So everyone can see it, of course. But also another thing that I thought was cool is that all of your comments on Reddit, they're going to feature your Crypto Snoo avatar, which comes with a little glow animation. So, you know, it is all just visual. And, you know, I guess depends on how much the user cares about being unique or different and glowing in the comments. But definitely it was cool to see them integrate it, you know, into the website all around.
I have a feeling then, I mean, if there's only 3 of them, it's going to cost, again, hundreds of thousands at least, right?
Maybe. They seem to be going a little bit under the radar, actually. I think at the time of recording, the highest bids are maybe 8 to 10 grand, roughly. I only checked one of them. So.
Okay, so it's already started.
It has, yep. Yeah, it has started, going on for another couple of days. But definitely doesn't seem to be, you know, gaining as much traction, I guess, at least as some of the huge name ones, but definitely not cheap by any means, I guess. So. Continuing NFT news, though, there's no shortage of corporations, companies, businesses, you know, things like Reddit and all those issuing their own NFTs, like we saw Taco Bell and tons of others. But this week, one that kind of came across my feed and was interesting to me is that there was a Mod Pizza NFT for pineapple on pizza. So Mod Pizza, it's probably not a global pizza chain. I don't even know if it's like coast to coast in the U.S., but where I live, it's very popular. Just in the sense that like every city around me and obviously the one I live in has a Mod Pizza, if not more than one. So, you know, I was just browsing through my Twitter and, you know, I came across it for National Pineapple Day. They were launching their own NFT for National Pineapple Day on Rarible. So that was just funny, interesting to see out of the blue. So
was it an image of a pizza?
Yeah, it was like pineapples and pizza. I don't know. It was pineapples and pizza.
And that was being auctioned off as well, or was it a one-off?
Yeah, so they are auctioning it off, and any money that is, you know, used to buy the NFT is going to be, you know, given to their Mod Squad Relief Fund is what they call it. I'm guessing it's some kind of charity thing. So that is, it is being auctioned on Rarible. Now it has another 4 days, roughly, from the time of recording. And lastly, in NFT news for today, of at least what we will be able to cover, PoOP, which is, you know, as they call it, the bookmarks of your life. Essentially, it's, you know, you get these badges or NFTs that kind of represent your attendance to events or other various, you know, life things that are important. So, for example, if you go to a ETH Global Hackathon or if you go to DevCon, that kind of thing, they usually are paired with this PoOP, an NFT, and it just kind of represents, hey, I attended this event or I did this thing. So they launched their newest version of their mobile app on iOS. Now, this app allows you to not only view your badge collection and show it off, but you can also claim PoOPs and eventually much more. So it is good to see, you know, more mobile support, especially on NFTs. We know that the crypto and NFT world, a lot it has to, you know, not rely on mobile, but mobile plays a huge part in it. So it is good to see that, you know, mobile support's there. And if you are a PoOP fan like myself, I can definitely get that app and make it easier to show off and brag about your collection and, you know, use it to claim easily as well.
Yeah, and hopefully they launch their Android app as well soon. I don't know if they have any plans around that. Last week, we had mentioned the NFT about Tim Berners-Lee's kind of code for the internet when it first got started. And I had said that I think it's going to fetch tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands, right? And you had mentioned that I was pretty... it would fetch much more than that. Do we have any update on that?
Yeah, we do. Actually, right now, again, there's a few days left on that one. But the current bid, of course, at time of recording, is $2.8 million. So definitely blew your estimations out of the water. That's for sure.
Now, moving on to technical upgrades. Everyone's just looking forward to London upgrade. And at least on Robson now, it has been deployed. I think it's been 5 days now. So you can actually see some actual ETH being burnt on Robson. Or just to clarify, you can see Robson ETH being burnt on Robson. And there's a site that's just been deployed called Watch the Burn. And there you can actually see live, block by block, how much ETH is being burnt. And as of recording, 89,000 ETH has been burnt. So this is roughly, I think, equivalent to $200 million. And I think in a few days, the same London hard fork will deploy on the Goerli testnet. And then 7th of July, we'll have the Rinkaby testnet deploy London upgrade. And after that, all that's left is the mainnet upgrade and the mainnet London upgrade. But we still don't have a time for that. I think my prediction is either end of July, or if not, then definitely in August. And you could have read actually more about this in Tim Baco's AllCore Devs blog update. So I had these kind of London testnet upgrades, but it also had some interesting updates on the merge. So, you know, how ETH 1.0 and ETH 2.0 is going to basically merge. What are the technical specifications? What needs to happen? The whole roadmap. So what we have now is that we actually have a proper specification on the ETH 2.0 side. So we have a proper specification on the consensus side. On the ETH 1 side, what we call the execution side, I think we're expecting a spec soon. And then we also had some minor updates on the Shanghai upgrade. And we know that this could happen either, I think, around December, or it could happen before the merge or just after. It just depends on whichever one comes first, I think. And this is an upgrade for the Ethereum 1.0 mainnet. And we have a few new EIPs in there. We had one EIP that gives smart contracts much more flexibility in how they can interact with user addresses. While there's one more EIP, there were two EIP candidates that were just released. And the second one, EIP 3540, I mean, I'm just going to quote here. It's basically an extensible and version container format for the EVM with a once-off validation at deploy time. So I have no idea what that actually is. I tried to figure it out, but I couldn't. But if you're interested, then you can go and read Tim Baco's updates.
Yeah, one thing about the EIP 3074 that's coming is that I actually thought was super useful is that it removes the need to approve tokens. So if you're trading on Uniswap or you're using a DeFi dApp or any other dApp with an ERC20, generally you have to approve that token to be spent on that dApp. And in addition to that, you're usually approving an unlimited amount, which usually is okay, but it can also lead to times where, you know, you could lose all your funds that you have allowed. So with 3074, completely removes that need to approve your token first. So that's super good for UX and security.
On a side note, since you brought up, you know, the token approval, there's a few different websites that will actually show you for any given wallet address you have what you've actually approved. So you should go and check. If there's sites that you don't use anymore, you should definitely go and revoke those approvals so that if there is a bug, you don't lose your money, because you could easily do that since you have approved for the smart contract to use that X amount of your crypto.
Yeah, one of those websites too is revoke.cash. So but just keep in mind, if you are revoking it, you're going to have to spend a little bit of gas. So probably best to do it when gas is cheap, but definitely worth doing if you have, you know, open approvals that you never plan on using again. So, and lastly, so for those who, you know, are looking for a career in crypto, which there's always tons of careers and tons of opportunities, DFinance Capital has actually announced a jobs board that features career opportunities offered by their portfolio companies. So I had a quick look. There's, you know, an incredible range of job openings, like a lot with open positions for, you know, things like algorithmic trader, visual FX artist, full stack engineer, writer. You know, there's literally hundreds of job, you know, open job opportunities. So worth checking out. It's always, you know, now is as good of time as ever to be joining the crypto space. You're not too late. You know, it's never too late to try and jump into crypto. Definitely worthwhile, and definitely check out their jobs board.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the fence about whether you should quit your ordinary conventional job and try your hand at crypto, I mean, I'm talking from my experience and from so many other people, like DeFi dude, you as well, I'm assuming. It's such an incredible experience jumping into crypto and sharing in the excitement, in the fun, in the innovation, in the growth of the space. There's also, I guess, the financial side with the price. And I mean, as a whole, there's just so much to take in. It's such an exciting space. And I think a majority of people are really going to enjoy their time working in this field. And with that, we wrap up another week of updates from Ethereum, from crypto. And as always, thank you for joining us. Until we catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
This podcast is supported by the awesome team at Kyber Network. For more information and to find out how Kyber Network provides liquidity to over 100 different dApps, wallets, and exchanges, check out kyber.network.